are listening to Teacher Toolkit, supporting teachers, parents and students worldwide.
People ended up basketball tickets and it was their first game that they had ever watched and loved it and didn't realise how exhilarating and exciting and how fun it could be.
We help teachers thrive and survive with classroom ideas, cutting-edge school resources and research-informed teacher training materials. You will also hear discussions on the policy, guidance and research-based publications.
This is Holly, editor at Teacher Toolkit, the most influential blog on education in the UK. 2018 is the centenary of some women winning the right to vote in the UK. Here at Teacher Toolkit, we will be commemorating the anniversary by interviewing 100 women working in the field of education or in the public eye in order to catalogue their lives, celebrate their successes, find out what challenges they face, and discover what they would like to pass on to the next generation. We've got a really special episode for you this week. A couple of weeks ago, I was very lucky to have the opportunity to interview Azania Stewart, Team GB basketball player. After being talent spotted at the age of 16, Azania went on to play basketball around the world. And in our conversation, we discuss how playing basketball got her a free education, what it was like to take part in the London 2012 Olympics, the joy of GB's recent medal win at the Commonwealth Games, as well as some of the challenges that the sport faces in the UK. This is Holly, editor at Teacher Toolkit, the most influential blog on education in the UK. Today I'm interviewing Azania Stewart. Hi Azania. Can you introduce
Hi.
Me? How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Can you introduce yourself to our listeners and tell them what you do?
Yep. My name's Azania Stewart. I'm 29 and I'm a professional basketball player.
Oh, great. How long have you been playing?
I started at 13, and so like a good 15, 16 years, and professionally 6 years, so yeah, quite a long time.
Great, and who do you play for now?
So I play for Great Britain, which has been a lovely like experience. I've been playing with them for 10 years all together. And then I played overseas in Latvia for TTT Riga.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so whereabouts, I tell our listeners now, we're not actually talking face-to-face, we're talking via Skype, because Azania is based in the US. Where do you live in the US?
So I live in Denver, Colorado, with my fiancé now, and yeah, it's really nice. So I'm working out here and training and doing different things. Obviously basketball is my main focus, but I also add like yoga and Pilates, and like it's really good training actually because it's high altitude in Denver, so it's actually been really good for me. So really good workout.
Great. So what's your education background and the career path to lead you where you are now?
So I left England at 16. I did my GCSEs and I left to go to America to do high school. And so I went to a private high school. I did 3 years there and got my diploma. And then I did 4 years of college. They call it, you know, university. At Florida, and I studied sociology and communications. So, and I got my degree in that as well. So it was really obviously the main reason why I got to have this opportunity in America was because of basketball, and I got a full scholarship in Florida. So free education is always the best education in my eyes.
Yeah. And can you remember when you first kind of were inspired by basketball and wanted to play basketball?
I actually didn't know the game when I first started. I played netball first, and I went to, compete at other schools, and I played at Greg City Academy. And a coach there, he kind of like scouted me and was like, hey, you need to come and try out for my team. And I was like, I don't know what basketball is, like I have no idea. And I kind of just took it from there and started in year eight pretty much, and just went to the training sessions there. I was terrible at first. I was 6 foot by 16. I was 6'4".
Wow.
So but I was really uncoordinated and I couldn't catch, and it was really bad, but just kind of over time worked at my craft, and and became really good.
Wow. And what position do you play?
So I'm a centre, so the big player around the basket. Yeah. But people who don't know basketball, you play both baskets. Where in netball, you play positions. Mm-hmm. So okay. I do a bit of everything, really.
Yeah. So did it take you a while to adapt to the rules and stuff of basketball?
Not really, because with netball it's very team orientated. Mm-hmm. Where basketball is the same, but now you can move. So it's more just my skills that I had to work on, you know, catching, shooting, passing. But I had the basics of being in a team, and you know, I have friends that I still know and are really good friends with this day, who I played with when I was 14.
Ah, cool. So can you give us a quick description of what a regular working day looks like for you?
Yeah, it's pretty busy, but in a way there's quite a long break in between because you're training. But you wake up, I usually wake up between, 8 o'clock, maybe earlier, depending what time the first practice is. So the first practice would be 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And so I'd get up, have breakfast, and just kind of wake myself up. Practice 9 till 10:30, 11, sometimes a bit longer. And that would have a training session and maybe weights. And then I would take a break, and depending on what country, for example, when I was in Spain, they have a siesta. So we then took a longer break and then didn't train again till 8 o'clock. But in Latvia, they didn't. And so we trained again at maybe 5 till 7, another 2 hour session. But in that space, there's a fair few hours. But still you have to kind of recover, stretch, eat and sleep and be ready again to go full speed. Mm-hmm. In the second training. And then in the evening I would then cook, eat and then sleep and do it all over again.
Yeah.
Well, you would train 5 days, and on the sixth day you would have a game, and the seventh day you would have a day off.
Right, okay. Wow, sounds intense.
Yeah.
And sounds like you have to be really adaptable to like the kind, the country you're playing in.
And learning. It's hard at first, but I think as long as you're willing to, you know, you have to get on with your teammates and your coaching style and be able to adapt, because you are moving your whole life in a suitcase or two for 8 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
So which teams have you played for?
I've played in Spain in a city called Zamora, Logroño, which is close to Bilbao. I've played in Australia, in Adelaide. I played a season and a half in Hungary, in a city called Page. And then my last team was Latvia. And then obviously in the summers, and I played for Great Britain.
Mm-hmm. And how is women's basketball viewed in the different countries? Is it kind of more high-profile in some countries?
No, I think it's well-respected and has a great following in Europe.
Yeah.
And England, and I would say America, have the lowest following. England has the least, I would say.
Yeah.
And then obviously America has the WNBA, so it kind of fits under the NBA, but it doesn't have it, so it's a very short summer season. And England has a very small British league, which doesn't have much following, sponsorship or you know, marketing. But in Europe they really take it seriously. In some countries, France and Germany, it's seen as a real government job. So if your team folds or they can't manage to pay your salary, the government takes the kind of slack of it. So it's taken seriously, and there's a lot of fans and people can follow and watch your games. And it's actually really nice overseas.
Yeah. And why do you think, what's the problem with the UK? Why is it not viewed as such a high-profile sport?
I don't know. I think obviously sponsorship, and they say you know, our sponsorship got taken away because we didn't medal in the Olympic Games in 2012, which I competed in. Mm. And it's just kind of gone a bit downhill from there. But without getting into like the politics side, I just think, you know, football is a big push in England. Mm-hmm. And but I think it's getting better. They've brought back English men's teams now at Crystal Palace and London Lions that are in Stratford. So there is becoming a better following, and the BBC now shows a game or two every other week or so. So I don't know. I wish it would be, because like when we competed in the Olympic Games in 2012, how the tickets were dispersed were kind of like a lottery pick. So lots of different people, you know, they didn't get to pick exactly what they wanted to see. Yeah. So people ended up with basketball tickets, and it was their first game that they had ever watched and loved it and didn't realise how exhilarating and exciting and how fun it could be. So I had people coming up to me after the games and messaging me like, oh my gosh, that was so great, you did great, and I'm really proud, and it was amazing. And all you need for basketball is really a ball and two nets. It's not really too expensive of a sport. And it is fun, and because of it, it's really made me, you know, travel. I've been all over the world, China, I don't know, from everywhere, just because of the sport. So it's really disappointing that it doesn't get pushed more, because there is so many opportunities for it, i.e. my education alone. I'm debt free. I didn't come out with any debts out of university. So not many people can say that.
Yeah, and it's kind of, did you see like momentum after the Olympics, kind of?
You know, in the Olympics there was this massive push of let's get the youth and the younger generation involved and inspired by us, and you know, and the whole it being in London, it was great. It was a great movement of sports in our country. And so I don't know, it was, we did this 4-year experience and push and get ready, and you know, it was the best, it was the hardest time of my life, obviously, because I was training and really dedicating it, and I was in university at the time too, so I was juggling school and then leaving school in the summer to come train with the girls and to really get ready for the Olympic Games. But yeah, and then because we didn't medal, which is difficult in basketball because we are such a new sport in terms of the world, and we had made this massive push to, you know, 25th in the world, and had played really great, had played some of the biggest teams, top teams, well. Yeah, in the Olympic Games, we didn't win one game, which on paper looks terrible. But then if you compare, if you saw our French game, we lost to them by 3 in overtime, and they won the silver medal. We were 3 points away from beating the silver medalist.
Wow, that's amazing.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, it was disappointing after the fact, but we still try hard now just to keep it, you know, out there and help. And I try, even here, I try to give back and coach a few kids and just try and keep the sport alive. Obviously, it's in America, but when I go home, you know, I've had kids in my local town be like, oh, are you a senior? Or like, God, I saw you in the games.
And
obviously, yeah, it's cute. And so it makes me happy, but I just, it's getting harder and harder, obviously, with not winning medals. We won, actually, a silver medal in the Commonwealth Games.
Yeah, oh, great.
But that was massive. That was massive for us. And just another good positive push to show that basketball is a great thing and it's going in the right direction.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. Well, that leads into me asking you, what career achievement are you most proud of? Sounds like you've had some amazing moments.
I think I have two. Obviously, the Olympic Games at home, playing in front of the home crowd, my family, was amazing. We did so. I thought we put on the games very well. I was very proud how they got it all together in time. So supporting I don't know, just being part of that. I think the opening ceremony was amazing.
Wow,
yeah, seeing the Queen and and a lot of people came out and supported. And then obviously that was 2012, and then most recently we just won a silver medal at the Commonwealth Games in Australia, which was amazing. Like it was very kind of, for me, last minute, because I was in season still with Latvia. So I decided to leave Latvia and go play. So it was quite full on. So I left Latvia mid, coming to the end of season, played in Australia, won the medal and flew right back and played the finals in Latvia. So,
oh my God.
Yeah. So
it's a bit disorientating.
Yeah, it was a bit mad. But I'm so glad and so happy, as I'm now coming near the end of my career, that I finally won a medal.
Yeah.
And yeah, a great achievement and probably one of my best achievements.
And what was it like going up and getting the medal and with your team?
Yeah, well, I knew, because we hadn't really prepped, there wasn't a long time for us to prep, so I thought if we played really well, we could get the bronze medal, you know. And so we had lost to Canada in the prelims in the beginning, and then we had to play Canada again in the semis, and we beat them. And we knew that was pretty much our final, because Australia had been together a while and was a very strong team. So we just knew that was like our gold medal moment. So we had beat them when we had lost them earlier in the tournament. And then the next day was the gold medal versus Australia, and to know that win or lose, you're going home with a medal.
Wow. So
cool. Yeah, it was so cool. And what was really nice, my dad came out to Australia with me.
Wow.
And got to see me go on the podium. And it was really, it was surreal, just kind of stepping up there and, seeing the flag come down. It was a really amazing moment.
It's so cool. I have goosebumps just listening to it. It must have been, what an amazing achievement. That's like,
yeah, seriously, I love it.
Wow. So what piece of advice would you give to girls hoping to get into professional basketball or any sport at a professional level?
Yeah, advice, I would just say it's really, it's kind of like, education is really important, because especially even when I was in high school, I had to pass my grades and keep a certain grade level to even play, and that was at high school. And so it really, you know, I had to work hard to just keep my grades up. But just getting into a sport, I think it's just really nice, because you get to meet new friends, you get to travel, you know, you're staying healthy. But so I would just say, you know, when you're younger, especially in England, you get to try all sports. And that was the thing. I was so new to everything. I tried football, I tried athletics, you know, netball, and just kind of found my niche and what I enjoyed and what made me happy and what my friends did. And we kind of like, you know, so in picking a sport, I think you should try them all. And then once you do find your sport, just real dedication, and you have to love it. Cause there was moments when I was in England, I had to get like a bus for like an hour to my training, and my parents didn't, you know, have to beg me or nag me to go to training or pick me up, or it was really, I wanted to do it. So I think it's the fire in you and not anyone else. And if you don't love it, then you're going to find it hard to keep motivated and to do it.
Yeah, kind of drag yourself out of bed.
Right. It's dark plenty of mornings that I had to wake up early to go to training.
Including today, because I have dragged you out of bed at 3 a.m. your time. So everyone listening should really appreciate that. It's, you know, nice and 10 a.m. for me, but not so great for you. So we will start to round up now, and I'm going to just finish off with our quick fire round. I love ask all my interviewees. So please, can you name three famous women, dead or alive, who you would like to invite to a dinner party?
I would like to invite, I think, Princess Diana.
Ooh, good one.
Beyonce.
Oh, yes.
And I'm in between like an Oprah or an Ellen, maybe.
Ooh,
maybe Ellen, because she's funny.
That'd be amazing.
I think,
Yeah, yeah, she bring good comedy. Yeah. Great, great to the choices. Team. Yeah. what's one thing you've learned today?
Just really, you know, obviously waking up at 3 o'clock, but just giving back. I think now that, like I said, I'm coming to the close to the end of my career, just giving back to young girls, and not even, doesn't have to be girls, like, you know, I see boys in the gym and I help them with their techniques, and I just really love it. And anywhere that I can give back, and example of this kind of podcast and people maybe hearing this and, you know, getting excited about basketball or playing sport or education. Mm-hmm. So really just giving back, I think.
Yeah, so actually you mentioned that you said you were coming to the end of your career. Is that right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I am. I'm coming up to 100 caps for Great Britain. Mm-hmm. And, and I decided this year not to go overseas. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting married and turning 30 next year. Mm-hmm. Just kind of slowing down of fully dedicating a lot of my life to basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm still training because I've got games for Great Britain in November, mm-hmm. November 17th in Manchester, by the way.
Will that be your 100th cap?
Yeah, that will be my 100th cap.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah. And so just really just having a voice and be able to talk to people and being open and I just try and give back to as many kids and even adults. I don't know, some adults don't know about basketball or mm-hmm. about the life that, you know, professionals go through. And so just being a voice, I think.
Yeah, because it's funny that you say, it was always funny for sports people who make you say you're retiring and you're nearly
30. And they're like, already you're 30? But it's like, I've been playing and I moved away from home at 16.
It's been
a lot of my young life dedicated to the sport and and school, when it's just kind of time, and if you want to have a family and kind of do other adult-y stuff that everyone's kind of done in there, you know, I've missed.
Absolutely.
So I'm really happy about it, and I didn't want to be, you know, forced out of a job or forced out of the game or injuries. I've been quite fortunate to not have too many and have a great career, so it's on my terms, and that's what I'm really loving about this process of now moving to the next part of sports.
And that sounds really exciting. Like, you kind of finish this stage, and turning 30 is great. I mean, it's a bit scary to begin with, but then, you know, it just gets better.
I'm not afraid of it. I mean, I've achieved a lot of things.
Really have.
So I just have to be proud of myself. Mm-hmm. And what's the next wave of life is just kind of, I attack it the same way I trained and got myself into shape, and I think I should be fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, well, where can our readers find out more about you?
I have an Instagram. Mm-hmm. It's a Xania, spelled A-Z-A-N-I-A, the number 1313.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm mostly on there. I'm on Twitter as well, the same name. And, you know, if you have any questions, I always get messages, DMs about different, you know, teams, or can you help me get into college? So I do get a fair few messages. Mm-hmm. So I'm more than welcome to answer anything if anyone has any questions.
Oh, that's great. Well, thank you so much for talking to me
at
this horrible hour, and wishing you so much luck with your 100th game. Teacher Toolkit will be rooting for you guys.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much. Bye.
Okay, bye.
You are listening to Teacher Toolkit. You can find out more about 100 Years, 100 Women on our website, teachertoolkit.co.uk, or follow us on social media using the hashtag TTKit100Women.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To continue the conversation, head over to www.teachertoolkit.co.uk and our social media channels to access all the links and resources mentioned on today's show. Why not share this with your colleagues and give them the gift of time, reduced workload, and increased impact? Until the next time, before you look after your students, look after yourself.